you know, you like very orderly messages with points and subpoints and all that. Yeah, it's not going to be like that today. I just want to share my heart. There's going to be some Bible verses and stuff, so it's all good. But I want to just, so maybe next week we'll get more orderly. But let me pray. Jesus, thank you for everything that you're doing in this church. Thank you for what you did in my life and Jesse's life by drawing us into Cornerstone, and through that giving us a destiny, giving us a calling, giving us a purpose on the earth, God. And thank you for all of us here, that you've brought all of us here for a reason today, Lord. You've connected us to Cornerstone for a reason. It's not just that, oh, well, it happened to be the closest church, or, well, I was born into this family, and, you know, whatever. Lord, you put all of us here in this ministry with this vision for a reason, because you want to send us out. You want to raise us up, send us out to change the world for your glory. Jesus, I pray that you would speak through me today, speak to us today, encourage us, strengthen us, and give us eyes to see what you are doing, and give us vision and faith to see what you can do in our lives and what you can do in those around us, God, and what you can do through this body, this church right here in Oconomowoc. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was born October 14th, 1980, in the Promised Land. Not the land of milk and honey, land of green and gold. My family, we have an interesting history. My grandmother and my mom both gave their lives to Jesus during the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. My sister just recently found my mom's old diary entries where she wrote down everything that was happening during that movement. You know, the Catholic Church started seeing, the Holy Spirit started coming in the 1970s to these prayer meetings. And my mom wrote down in her journal details about what would happen once in a while. You know, they'd come to the meeting, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit would come, and people would start falling on the ground, speaking in tongues, or prophesying, or getting healed. And Terry and Diane were a part of that. They could tell you some amazing stories. They came, visited us at our house the other day, and we just sat around sharing testimonies and talking about what God did in the 70s. God was moving back then, and so my mom and my grandma kind of got sucked into that for a little while, gave their lives to Jesus, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then as I grew up, well, before I came along, my mom walked away from that, but my grandma stood strong. And so I grew up with this crazy grandma that would be gone at prayer meetings all the time, every night of the week, every morning of the week, all the time. She'd be at these prayer meetings, and she'd come back just like singing, and she was like singing tongues sometimes, but I didn't know what it was. I thought my grandma would just like, I don't know, had talking gibberish, and I thought everybody had a grandma like that. And maybe we all do, I don't know. And she'd give us Ray Comfort tracks, you know, the ones that we have here. I didn't realize what they were, but she'd give us these Ray Comfort tracks, and I'd read about the Bible, the gospel, and they'd have these little things. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And we'd have headaches at her house. She'd lay hands on us and cast demons of pain out of our heads, and we'd feel better. And I just thought that was normal and a little crazy. But then my parents, they kind of walked away from that, and they started going to a more evangelical church, and that's where I really was raised then, going to a non-spirit-filled church. My parents were, I would say by that time, when we started going to that church, they had walked pretty far away from God and were not living as Christians at all. We were going to this church, and actually my family was one of the founding families of the church. It grew to become one of, I think it actually for a while was Green Bay's biggest church. I don't think it is anymore, though. But they were founding members there, but our family was not Christian at all. So I started with a good foundation, but then sin got into my family. My parents ended up in a divorce, and there was a lot of anger, bitterness, and us kids kind of, well, yeah, I didn't, as soon as I had a choice, I walked away from the church. I walked away from God. Ashley Grafenstein, who was here for a while, a couple years back, apparently she remembers me. She's from Green Bay, and she went to the same church. I don't remember her, but she said, when she saw me, she's like, I remember you. You and your brother were those kids that would stand in the corner of the children's church room and just scowl. Yeah, that probably was me. I hated going to church. The only thing I liked about it was the outside of the building had some stones you could climb up on. And so we would climb up on these stones, grab spiders, and throw them at the girls down below. So church was really awesome. I loved it. My family, you know, sin got in, divorce, bitterness, anger, all that. And then I allowed, I think it was about 11 years old, I got addicted to online pornography, and that just controlled my life from 11 till I was 19. And then a lot of anger got in. I was mad at my dad. I was mad at my brothers and sisters, mad at people at work, mad at people at school. I got picked on a lot. I was very shy, awkward, scared. I was really smart, but I was so scared in class. If the teacher would ask a question, I wouldn't raise my hand because I was just so scared to speak. I hated talking, which is very different now. And I was mad. I was so mad at everybody. I just wanted to, I just didn't want to talk to anybody, didn't want to see anybody. And so I went, sometimes I tried as long as I could to not talk to people. I think I made it about a week where I didn't talk to anybody. I just did my own thing and didn't care about the rest of the world. I'd go, I'd wake up, I'd go to school, make it through school, go home, do homework, look at porn, go to bed. And it's like, yeah, that's a great life. And so much bitterness and anger and impure thoughts in my mind. But there was this foundation in me of the Word of God that I knew that was wrong. I knew I shouldn't hate. I knew I shouldn't be proud and selfish and self-centered and angry about things. I knew I shouldn't allow impure thoughts in my mind, but I couldn't get free from it, no matter what I tried. I tried reading the Bible. I read the Bible, I think it was 2 or 3 times, all the way through, front to back, before I actually got saved, because I said, there's got to be something in here. So I read it every day, but I still was the same. I memorized scriptures, James 4:7. I memorized that one, but it goes, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I didn't like submitting to God, though, so I ignored that part. I saw the verse, I'm like, I don't want to submit to God, but I want to resist the devil, and I want him to flee from me. So I memorized that verse, and I thought, okay, I actually wrote it on a note card. I still have the note card today, and I carry it around with me everywhere. I hated church. I didn't really like God because I figured I was going to hell because of the way all the bad stuff inside me. On the outside, I looked okay, but inside there was so much anger, bitterness, hatred, lust, all that kind of stuff inside me that wasn't good. And I knew I would stand before God condemned, so I was mad at God because I would go to hell. So I carried this verse, though, everywhere I went, and I would whip it out, like, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But without submitting to God, it doesn't do any good. And so I got further and further into anger and lust and addictions and all that, and I couldn't get free. And then I even got to the point where we visited an Assemblies of God church, and there was a guy, a Chinese guy in front of me, lifting his hands, which was already kind of scary. And then he started speaking a language that I was like, that's not English and that's not Chinese. And so I asked my mom, I said, what is he doing? She said, he's speaking in tongues. And so I said, well, what does that mean? So it's this prayer language where you get a special, what did she call it? A secret prayer language between you and God. And as you say it, God will do things for you. And I'm like, okay, I don't believe that's quite a good way to describe it anymore. But she said that, and I'm like, oh, so it's like a magic phrase, like hocus pocus, all this stuff. I need one of those. I got these issues in my life. I need this magic phrase that I can say, and God will just solve things. So then I asked my mom, how do you get one of those? She said, oh, just pray, ask God, and whatever comes in your mind, that's it. So that night, I went home. I was probably about 10, 11 years old. And I went home, and I remember laying on the bed, and I said, Lord, I want that magic secret language, so give me something. And I sat there. I didn't hear anything. And then my mind starts wandering, and then I hear, you're going to laugh, but I hear, boom shakalaka. So then, I'm 10 or 11 years old. I don't know anything about God, and I'm like, I guess that's it. That's my magic secret prayer language. I can speak in tongues. And so I started, I got my prayer card, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And then I'd wake up in the morning, I'd grab that card and I'd go to school. Boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka. It's under my breath quietly.
That's awesome.
Believe it or not, it didn't do me any good. Yeah, I know, you're all surprised, right? Boom shakalaka. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it. It might do you good. I needed more force. Yeah, yeah. A little more faith in that. Oh, man. I don't know where my notes are here. Where am I? So I was doing all these different things. I got a subscription to our Daily Bread. Did anybody read our Daily Bread? Yeah. Yeah. So I found it somewhere at a church, or it was a Christian bookstore. I didn't realize it was a Christian bookstore, but I went into this bookstore, and there was our Daily Bread, and it had a verse on there, and I was like, I need that. That's going to change my life. So I read that every day too, and I was doing all these things trying to get right with God, but nothing was setting me free. And so then one day I had this idea. There was this new thing called Yahoo. And I'm like, I'm going on Yahoo. And I'm typing in Yahoo, how to make sure you're going to heaven when you die. So I typed that in. I click enter, click on the first page, and they say, it says, to know you're going to heaven when you die, ask God to forgive you for all of your sins. And I was like, I could do that. And so I took the next 3 nights. I stayed up as late as I could, writing down each and every sin that I could think of that I had done. All the way back to when I was 4 years old, me and my friend James were arguing over his, no, this was Josh, arguing over his, he had a toy aunt, and we were fighting over it, and I broke it, and then I went and told his mom that he broke his toy aunt, and I'm like, oh man, God, that was wrong. So I wrote that down, like, please forgive me for the toy aunt incident. And then James, I stole James's toy dinosaur, and so I asked for forgiveness for that, and 3 nights in a row, I just listed everything I could think of. But what's funny is I never got to the things I was really struggling with. I never got to the anger, the pride, the jealousy, the judgmental spirit, the lust, none of that. I didn't get to that stuff. I just dealt with all these things that didn't really matter. And I wasn't really repenting of things. I was just praying this quick prayer, writing down, God, forgive me for that. Because I didn't know any better. But after 3 nights of that, I was still the same. And then I kind of gave up. And I said, well, I guess that's it. I guess I'm just going to be an angry, bitter person who hates the world and gets in fights all the time and has these impure thoughts and does things that I don't want to do. I guess that's my life. So I kind of surrendered to it, stopped going to church, and then I got accepted at UW-Madison. And when I left to go to Madison, I was so full of bitterness and anger that I just decided, I'm not going back. I'm not never coming back home. I'm leaving, and I'm getting a degree so I can get a good job, and I can do whatever I want. I'm going to get a big house and just live there on a mountain by myself and screw the world, let them do their thing. I'm never going to see my family again, and whatever, I don't care. I'm just going to live my own life. But then I woke up Sunday morning with this weird thought in my head. It was the first Sunday morning there. I had this weird thought. I'm an adult now. College students think they're adults now.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. I'm like, I'm an adult. What do adults do? Well, adults in Wisconsin go to church. I'm going to be a responsible adult, and I'm going to go to church. And so I grabbed my twin brother, Ben, who some of you know as well. We were both roommates together, and so I grabbed him. And then we had our friend Rob. Some of you have met him. The three of us, we said, let's go find a church. And so we visited all these different churches, and went to a Catholic church, a Lutheran church, a Presbyterian church. And the Presbyterians had good desserts. We almost stayed there. That was good. but then Rob gets a flyer from Diana Jones, who used to be in our church in Madison, for a Hocus Pick concert. Hocus Pick is an old Christian band that almost nobody knew about. But Rob, our friend, had heard of them. And he's like, hey, there's a free Hocus Pick concert. You know, he gets the flyer and he comes to us. He's like, it's a free concert. This band is good. I know them. Let's go. And then I was the mature, responsible one. And I said, well, we should check the church out first. We don't want to just go to anybody's free concert, you know. I didn't know anything. So we go to the Cornerstone Church there. It was on South Park Street, about 2 blocks from where our dorm was. And we go to the church building, and it was the weirdest church building I'd ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was an old rock club did we all paint it white, or did it come white? Because it was white. So, yeah, so it was all very bright white when we got there to cover up the old rock club creepiness, I'm assuming. Smashing Pumpkins, they were the last one, okay. And the front door was a giant yellow smiley face. So we're like, what the heck is this place? And like, all right, I don't know. They gave us a flyer, we'll go in. So we opened the door, and Andre Bach, some of you know her, she was there. They had, like, I don't know, like, 10, 20 kids or something. It's probably like 3 or 4, but I'm a college student. I can't count. Public school. And so Andre Bach was there, had her kids around her, and she's like, oh yeah, I used to be this feminist, and I hated men, and I used to go drinking all the time, and all this stuff, and tell her, and now I'm a mom, I got these kids, and I love Jesus. what is this woman? This is weird. My church, nobody would talk like that. And then I met Diana Jones, and she's like, oh man, I used to get drunk, and I had all these guys and all that, but I love Jesus, he changed my life, and there's my husband, and he leads worship, and I'm the campus pastor, or we're on campus ministry, and I'm like, wow, this is really weird. And then Michael got up to share, and it was like he was talking as if God was real, and he really believed the Bible, and I'm like, this is strange, I'm not used to that. I'm used to people just kind of, I don't know, putting on a face. I'm like, this is really odd. But I kind of liked it. And yeah, there was a guy dancing in the front, lifting his hands and spinning around. I think it might have been Rico, but I'm not positive. I didn't really know Rico very well. But yeah, but he can dance. So so I come in here, and the church was completely different from any experience of Christianity that I had ever had. And it blew my mind to see everybody I've met was telling me stories of how God had changed their life. Or something crazy and amazing they were doing. Bobby Harris, some of you know him. He was the first man I met there after Andre and Diana. Bobby Harris, the night before, they were doing some work in the church building, and a big metal thing hit his head, and he had a concussion and had to go to the hospital. And so he's at church, and they prayed for him, and he got a little better, and so he comes to church. He's at church, he's like, hi, I'm Bobby. I got hit in the head last night and had a concussion, but they prayed for me, and now I'm better. Like, what is this place? This is really weird. Do I want to be here? I don't know. And it was like nothing else I'd ever experienced. And I wasn't a Christian at that time. I just wanted to live my own life, but I had this kind of hunger for God. And then that drew me in, that there's something different about these guys here, that it's like real. Like Jesus is real, and they're really following him. And then after the service, Rob says, hey, let's go meet the pastor. I'm like, I don't want to talk to the pastor. Like, I'm not comfortable with these people to begin with. And Rob wants to talk to the guy who's leading them? No. Well, we talked to the pastor, we talked to Michael, and then Michael brings us all over the building, and he's like, yeah, they had a bunch of beer bottles here, and we had to get rid of them. And I'm thinking, yeah, it still smells like they had a bunch of beer there. And Smashing Pumpkins played here, and Pearl Jam played here, but we're going to build this thing for God, and we're going to have concerts here for Jesus, and we're going to do evangelism, we're going to reach the campus for Jesus. You guys should be leaders in our ministry. You could plant churches with us. I'm, okay. That's the heart of Cornerstone, you know? Whoever comes in, we want to reach you for Jesus, we want to disciple you, get your life figured out, let Jesus clean out the junk, and then we want to find where God is calling you to serve and lead, and we want to give you everything we can so that you can do that. And so I just got sucked in. I'm like, okay, I found people that can help me. And I was probably, well, I don't know exactly when I got saved, but because that was August, I started going there, August, September, and then I think it was October, November, the church did a work day, and I was in the women's bathroom painting the walls. So take note, if you want to, you know, if you want to plant churches or be a pastor one day or be in a ministry, start with painting. John, we need painters, right? All right. Slight infomercial. So I was sitting in the bathroom painting the walls, and Ryan Jones was there with me, and we're just talking about God, and he's like, oh, have you read this book of the Bible? I'm like, oh yeah, I've read that 3 times, you know, all this stuff, and I don't know everything about that. But then he was like answering these questions on it in ways that I never expected. And he was talking about a real relationship with Jesus. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then Ryan stopped talking, which was a miracle. And I'm just painting. And God started speaking to me. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, Saturday night, and I'm hanging out painting a women's restroom in a church. And he's like, yeah, what's everybody else doing? Well, they're probably all getting drunk and partying or something else. They're not doing this. And he's like, yeah, what did you do last night? I was like, well, we had a prayer meeting. And the night before, I was, we met with Ryan to do a Bible study. And the night before that, me, Ben, and Rob had me praying at our dorm. He's like, so what's gotten into you? I'm like, I don't know, God. What's gotten into me? This is weird. And then I started realizing I don't want to sin anymore. My struggles with sin were not done, but I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted to live for Jesus. The bitterness was gone. The anger was gone. The lust was gone. The bad thoughts I had, I was winning that war. I was different, and I thought, this is weird, and all I want to do is I want to go to church, and I want to love Jesus, and okay, something's different in me. And so then I remember saying to God in my mind, does this mean I'm a Christian now? I didn't know what saved meant, I didn't know what born again meant, but I knew something's different where I'm following God now. it was a couple months later that I found out what born again meant, because I was at the new members meeting with Michael and Ryan, and they asked me, so have you been born again? Or describe when you got born again. And I said, but I don't know what that means. So Michael explained it, and I'm like, oh, I think it happened like now or the past couple months. I'm not sure, but yeah, I've got that. I don't know when it happened. So I don't know exactly when I got saved, but I know when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Acts 1:8, where do I have it? I have it somewhere here. I'm not really following my notes. All right, Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was the most, that made the biggest change in my life, obvious change, that I could see from the outside anyway. What happened was Michael, like he did a few weeks ago, Michael preached on baptism in the Holy Spirit at church, and afterwards he invited people to come forward to receive the Holy Spirit. And as I heard him talking, and I'm like, this is weird, you know, he's talking about speaking in tongues, and like, yeah, I tried that, the boom shakalaka, it didn't work. And he's talking about healing the sick, and I'm like, I'm not really into that. And at the time, I didn't even really remember that my grandma would do that, because she was real, like, kind of grandma about it. Oh, be healed, and demons go away, and all that, and we'd feel better, and I thought, I don't know. But Michael was talking about, like, raising the dead, and healing the sick, and casting out demons, and I'm not really that into that. That's weird. He was talking about be baptized in the Holy Spirit so you can do all these cool things for God, and I'm like, I don't really want to do those cool things for God. I like just being this. I'm okay just kind of blending into the background, having an okay life, liking God, and just that's it. And so Michael preached, and he invited people to come forward, and no one stood except for Rob right next to me. And I'm like, ah, oh, Rob, now they're going to look at me because you're standing. So Rob goes forward, the whole church gathers around, puts hands on him, prays for him. Rob started speaking in tongues, and it wasn't boom shakalaka. Like, just full out shouting in tongues, and then he's laughing and dancing and crying and singing, and I was like, oh wow, this is different, and I gotta find out what's going on. And so then Rob and me and Ben left church, and I'm like, Rob, what the heck was that? And he answered, I'm like, stop it, just... You're like, so is God controlling your lips? Is it, what's going? Do you see the words in your mind, and then you pronounce them, or what? Do you know what you're saying? And we just asked him all these questions, and he just kept talking in tongues to us, and say, I don't know. It's just you should have been prayed for, man. It's awesome. And he was so loud and just singing and dancing the whole way back to the dorms. I was kind of embarrassed, but I was also like, I kind of want that, you know? It looked really fun. Then we get back to the dorm, and it was late. By that time, it was late at night, and. I remember trying to get to bed, but I couldn't sleep. I just kept hearing God say, you needed to get prayed for. Why did you reject the baptism in the Holy Spirit? What's wrong with you? Don't you love me? And I'm like, yeah, it's weird, God. I don't want it. It makes me uncomfortable. And he kept hassling me all night long. I couldn't sleep. So that was Sunday night. And Monday morning, I wake up. I'm like, oh, man, I didn't sleep at all. Well, I slept a little bit. Yeah, it's, I don't know, an hour or two or something like that. But it was very, I tossed and turned all night. And then I wake up, and I'm just groggy. I go to class, and I'm like, and I kept hearing God say, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, I don't want it. It's weird. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't like that stuff, God. Monday night, I couldn't sleep again because I was tossing and turning, hearing God tell me, why did you do that, man? You need it. You need it. Finally, Tuesday morning, I get out of bed, and I'm so tired. And I remember telling God, fine, you win. I'll just get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't get it at all, but I need to sleep. And so I surrender. I'll go to church tomorrow night, and I'll get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That night, I slept so good. It was like the most peaceful sleep I'd ever had. Like, you surrender to God, and he just blesses you. You fight him. It's going to be miserable. Then Wednesday morning, I wake up, and I thought, oh, I should... You know, I'd never been to church Wednesday night ever before, so it was kind of scary for me. And so I talked to my friend Rob, who went every Wednesday night, and I said, hey, Rob, I want to come with you Wednesday night, but I don't really want to show up alone. Can you come to the dorm ahead of time? And he's like, yeah, sure. And then and he goes, well, why do you want to come? I'm like, I need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he got really excited. And then I didn't know it, but he called up Ryan, the worship leader, who called up Michael, and told... Rob told Ryan that I was coming to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Ryan told Michael that I was coming to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't realize that that whole conversation went on. And so then Rob comes to the dorm, and then we walk together to the church. Ryan leads worship. After worship, Michael got up on stage, and he announces to the whole church, "Jake's here to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." I didn't know they had that conversation, and so I was like, who is this guy? He just knows my mind. He knows everything, all the secrets. And I'm like, I try to think positive thoughts. Michael's a good guy. Michael's a great preacher. And so then the whole church prayed for me, and it was literally, it felt like fire from my head to my toes, just like whoosh, like this tunnel, this funnel of fire just came over me. And I was sweating, my heart was beating, I felt like I was going to fall over, and then I felt like I wanted to shout, and I didn't know what to shout. And they're like, just shout in tongues. I'm like, okay. And then I started speaking in tongues, and I was like, wow, this is awesome, I love it. And then I'm dancing and singing and laughing, and I just like Rob was the other night. And that boom shakalaka, baby. Yeah, that was it was a lot better than the boom shakalaka. And that experience changed my life more than anything. You know, when you read the Bible, you see time and again, the Holy Spirit comes upon people and he changes people. I love the story of King Saul. When King Saul is trying to find David, and so he sends his men to go, he hears that David is with Samuel and the prophets, and so in such and such a city, and so he sends his messengers after him, and when the messengers get there to go grab David, the Holy Spirit falls on them, and they start prophesying, and they can't grab David. And so Saul hears, he's like, well, I gotta send more messengers. He sends messengers again. Same thing happens. The Holy Spirit falls, they prophesy, and they can't grab David. He does it a third time, the same thing happens. The messengers can't get David again because they're prophesying. And so then Saul's like, well, fine, I'll just go myself. He goes, and the Holy Spirit falls on him. He can't grab David. He starts prophesying as well. Whenever the Holy Spirit fills people, they change. That, and in my experience in ministry, here in Oconomowoc, in Milwaukee, Madison, Oconomowoc, Milwaukee, Romania, back to Oconomowoc. And wherever I've been, that seems to be the biggest life change thing. And so, you know, for me, talking about who I am and where I've come from and all that, I can't be quiet about the Holy Spirit. When we came back from Romania, a Baptist pastor was telling me, man, I need an associate pastor at my church. Maybe you should come here. And I told him, well, you know, one thing you got to know about me is I'm not very good at being Baptist. I can pretend, but I'm like, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It radically changed my life. And I'm going to have to tell everybody in your church about it. I can't not. And he's like, okay. Like, there you go. All right. You know, the Holy Spirit changed my life. When he came into my life, okay, you get born again, you got the Holy Spirit. He sealed you. Your spirit is sealed in his spirit. You're with him. You're new. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's like more of you is surrendered to him and his power, and you change. I felt like my insides were all renewed. Everything that happened, this whole process of getting saved and all that, I was changing and changing and changing. But when the Holy Spirit came on me, it was like, boom, just love came in, joy came in, power came in, boldness came in. Suddenly, I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, and I was doing it. I started preaching with a lot of zeal and not a lot of wisdom. I remember I heard about D.L. Moody making this commitment to share the gospel with at least one person a day. And so I was like, that's awesome. I'm going to do that. And so I started sharing the gospel with at least one person a day. One time I got everybody in my Yahoo email, and I emailed all of them, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell, you need to repent and get saved, with about as much tact as that. It wasn't received very well, but I had a lot of, can you believe that? Yeah. And I just started everywhere I could go, even at school. I was like, God, I want to share the gospel in my classes, and I don't care how stupid I sound. So I had this political science class where I was like, every day I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to debate whatever the teacher says and bring the Bible into it. I was totally obnoxious, but a lot of zeal, not a lot of wisdom. I remember even my calculus class, one time we were doing, this wasn't in front of the whole class, thankfully, but it was very embarrassing. We were doing integrals, if you remember integrals. If you don't, God bless you, you don't have to worry about it. So we were talking about integrals, and I made this really cheesy line. I'm like, we're doing integrals. Well, wouldn't you say that God is an integral part of our lives? let me tell you what God did for me. Full of zeal. And then our first summer there, my parents expected, you know, the dorms closed, so my parents expected us to come back home to Green Bay, me and my brother and our friend Rob. We were all from Green Bay. And so they expected us to come back home, and I was like, no. We heard the church, Cornerstone in Madison, was going to do some summer classes. They're going to talk about the Reformation, Church History 3, about how Martin Luther and, where are these guys? I'm drawing a blank now. William Tyndale, John Huss, John Calvin, all these radicals that shook Europe for Jesus because they were dedicated to the truth and the Word of God. And so Michael was going to be teaching this class. I'm like, ooh, I don't know anything about that. That sounds awesome. And they were going to do a worship class, teaching us how to lead worship. And then when I found out they're playing guitar, I was like, I don't like guitar. Actually, guitar doesn't like my hands. So that I found the bass. And they were doing, I don't remember. Oh, they were going to do an evangelism class to teach us how to have zeal and wisdom. I thought, that sounds cool. And so we stuck around in Madison and found an apartment and took 3-4 classes. There might have been a couple other ones too. We just did classes nonstop with the church. And our minds were getting filled with this radical teaching and all that. And one radical in a good way, like Bible teaching and about revival and all that. And one week for the evangelism class, you know, so we've been going through the Reformation and in the history class and hearing about these guys just proclaiming the gospel throughout Europe and bringing revival. I'm like, that's sweet. Okay. And then in the evangelism class, Michael talked about street preaching. And he shared some stories about when he would go out street preaching and other people shared stories. And I was like, ooh, that's scary, but really cool. And me, Ben, and Rob, after the class, we were like really quiet. And I'm like, are you guys thinking what I'm thinking? And they're like, yeah, but I don't want to say it. We should street preach, shouldn't we? And we're like, yeah, but let's not tell anybody in the church that we did it because it might go really bad and we don't want them to ask how it went. So we decided Saturday, we're going to State Street in Madison and we're going to street preach. So all week we're fasting and praying and we're so scared. And then we get to Madison, or we Saturday morning comes and we blasted the worship music because we're like, we got to get jacked up on Jesus before we go out there. And we got so psyched on Jesus and we're like, all right, we're going to State Street. We get out there and then we got just deer in the headlights. We're like, oh crap, there's people here. And I don't like talking. I told you, I went a week without saying a single word to anybody. And I don't like that. And, but Rob, when we became members of the church, someone prophesied over Rob that he was had a gift of an evangelist. And so we get to State Street and we're like, oh man, we're scared. What do we do? And so I had the really smart idea. Rob, you're an evangelist. You should preach. So Rob's like, oh, I guess you're right. So then he shouts out, hey, everybody, listen up. And so I was like, about 100 people just stopped what they were doing and turned and looked at us. And Rob didn't say anything else. So I'm like, this is bad. So then I got to say something because nobody's saying anything and they're all looking at us and I feel really scared right now and I want to run away. So then I remembered Michael had talked about street preaching one time and shouting out, Jesus is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord over Madison. It's like, great line, let's do it. And so I just shout out, yeah, Jesus Christ is Lord over Madison. And then it was, I don't even know what I said, but I probably felt like I preached for hours. It was probably about 5 minutes. Then in the process, another zeal without wisdom story, a homeless guy comes up to us and is like, I don't believe in Jesus. If he's real, have him prove it to us. And so, you know, I've been reading the Bible and I believe that what the Bible says is true. And so I got all James and John, sons of Zebedee, on them. And I'm like, see that tree over there? God's going to burn it down. He's like, so then that drew some more attention. And I prayed this really powerful prayer, really using all the Christian words I could think of, commanding fire to come on the tree. And it didn't happen. The tree might still be there. I don't know. I should go check. Maybe 50 years from now, it's going to burn down. But it didn't burn that day. And so the homeless guy, everybody starts laughing and the homeless guy goes, see, God's not real. And then Ben jumped in, to save the day. And he goes, yeah, well, I just read in the Bible the other day, you know, it says, do not test the Lord your God. How do you feel about disobeying what the Bible says? Or you're trying to put God to the test. you're going to stand before God one day, and he's going to remind you that you put him to the test, and you're going to be judged for that. And the homeless guy just got this, like, look of terror, and he's like, you're right. And so we led him to the Lord. So, you know, sometimes you see somebody who's new in the Lord, and you're like, wow, that guy needs some wisdom. But let him go. He'll figure it out. It's better to have zeal than nothing. You know, I'd rather see a guy go and do something crazy and by accident someone gets saved because despite, you know, what the young guy is doing, I'd rather have that happen than we all sit here and criticize and try to get the perfect plan and then we take a month and then next month we go, I don't know, I'm not feeling it anymore. Maybe we won't do that. You know, just go. We just gotta go. It's 12 o'clock already. I haven't even gotten out of Madison in my story yet. Well, let me just, this will be part one. Well, that's the nice thing about being the, this is the first series. So, you know, I don't want any of you to hear me today and go, oh, Jake is awesome. I hope I can share enough embarrassing stories and stupid Jake stories today and in the coming days that you go, wow, it's amazing God used him for anything. maybe you probably all think that already. It's all good. but I want to leave on that, not that thought. I want to leave on this thought, moving forward to a thought to leave on. Be radical for Jesus. You know, when I grew up in a community church, non-denominational church, hearing the gospel day in, every week, and it drove me nuts because I remember sitting there just thinking, we're bored out of our minds. Why don't we just go have fun, get out of church, go do something fun? Why don't we break something? Why don't we commit a crime? Why don't we just do what we want to do? Because that's way better than sitting here bored at church wanting to do those things. But you're pretending to be good. So when I found Cornerstone and heard Michael preach, and he's like, he talked about God as if he was real, and everybody at church was really changed and really living for God, and they had prayer meetings where they prayed and they believed that God would answer them. And coming into that community, I realized what I grew up with, okay, the problem was me. The church that I grew up with is a great church, and people that went there, they got saved, they got changed, and they're living great lives. But I was too stubborn and thick-headed for it to reach me, and I wanted something real, something more. And so, something radical, you know, in a good sense, where it's going back to what was happening in the book of Acts, what Jesus preached and what the disciples were doing. That's, I didn't know that's what I wanted, but that's what I wanted. And so when I came into Cornerstone for the first time, it's like something came alive, and I realized, that's it. That's what Christianity is really about. And, you know, there's a lot of different kind of churches out there, and I don't want to hack any of them. And the church I grew up in is a great church doing great things. But we're different. Our calling, our vision as a community, as a church, has always been to be on the cutting edge, to be a little more radical, to have a little bit more zeal, to maybe do or say something that's a little stupid, but something good happens in the process. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is Acts 17, verse 6. Those who have turned the whole world upside down have come here also. That's my prayer for us. That people would look at us and say, dang, those who have turned the world upside down are here now. So let's be radical. Let's love Jesus with a passion. Let's give him all of us. Let's not allow distractions to get in. Let's not allow the enemy to come in with fear or discouragement. He's going to come and lie to us all he wants, but let's just do what God called us to do and let his kingdom come here in Oconomowoc, to Watertown, to Pewaukee, to where are we, Hartford, wherever we are, Janesville, that the kingdom of God would come wherever we are. Amen? Yeah. All right. So, we're going to...